L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Great to be with you here on this Tuesday, August 10, 2021. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, lots of fantasy sports talk to get to. Of course, it is fantasy football season around here. So we got news and notes and training camp, risers, fallers, everything that you could possibly do to get ready for your upcoming fantasy football draft. But of course, we cover all sports, Major League Baseball, some things happening, which we will get to, no doubt about that. Contract extensions also happening this time of the year in the NBA. And Dave has got to keep an eye on these injuries. Like a couple of big news and notes today that I saw. And, you know, Chris mentioned one of them with Sam Erlinger getting time with the first team in Indianapolis. Tells you maybe Jacob Eason doesn't have a starting hold on this thing. And then I'm seeing, unfortunately, Rashad Bateman, the great wide receiver from college who was drafted by the Baltimore Ravens, left with an injury today. And we'll be holding our breath on that one, that's for sure.
Yeah, the Rashad Bateman one does not sound good. I'm getting real Jalen Reagor vibes from Rashad Bateman because he actually had just returned to practice today. He'd been dealing with this abdominal core injury, and he returned to practice today. They were like, all right, you know, we're going to get you back out there, going to get you running some routes. And it actually sounds like maybe he wasn't fully good to go because that was the injury that he suffered. He was running a route against Marcus Peters and then just collapsed on the turf. The early thing I heard was that it seems like a grade 2 strain of his abdomen. Grade 2 strain, probably like 3 to 6 weeks. That puts him right up against the start of the season. And look, rookie wide receivers, we know rookie wide receivers can be really good for fantasy. We saw it last year, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, A.J. Brown the year before, et cetera, et cetera. But one thing we do know is that getting injured as a rookie is really bad because you got to get up to speed, you got to learn the offense, you got to know where you need to be, and it's going to be very hard for Bateman to do that on the sideline.
Yeah, and remember, the Ravens were that team that signed Dez Bryant last year. That's how desperate they were at wide receiver, and now back to Marquise Brown, and we'll talk about some others. Here are our headlines as we start the show. Luka Doncic signs the largest guaranteed rookie extension in NBA history, so the odds of him leaving Dallas seem to be slim for the future. Yankees place Gleyber Torres on the injured list, and the Yankees now have 20 guys, I think, on the IL. Eloy Jimenez was the star of the night in baseball, homered twice again. So he's basically the hottest hitter, I would think, in the American League at this point. Two home runs yesterday, two home runs the day before. Patriots tight end Hunter Henry will miss a couple of weeks with a shoulder injury, so nothing all that serious there. But back to the Bateman injury, Davis. So we're talking about the Baltimore Ravens who, going into the draft, identified their issue. They didn't really have a playmaking wide receiver that they could count on, maybe outside of Hollywood Brown, who, let's be honest, has been inconsistent. Who is the next man up in Baltimore at this point? Is it Sammy Watkins? Is he on the Ravens? I think I did see that. Is that the guy that gets a bump here today?
Yeah, I mean, look, you laugh, but Sammy Watkins has been the only starting wide receiver who's been healthy for the Ravens in the entirety of training camp. No time on the injury report for Sammy Watkins. All the beat writers for the Ravens say Sammy Watkins has been the best wide receiver in camp. Marquise Brown missed time with a hamstring injury. He returned to practice today. Bateman missed time with that abdominal injury. He's out again. Miles Boykin, remember Miles Boykin? He also has been injured at training camp. So it's kind of been, you know, Devin Duvernay, Sammy Watkins, and Tylan Wallace, the guy from Oklahoma State. I was drafting Sammy Watkins already in these best ball leagues. I just have been on the record so many times. I believe in Lamar. I believe in Harbaugh, yada, yada. People are probably sick of hearing me say how much I believe in those guys. But I think there's a real chance week one comes around, the Ravens take the field, and Sammy Watkins leads the Ravens in targets in week one, you know, because he is kind of a more natural possession wide receiver, not going to be running, you know, a ton of nine routes the way Marquise Brown will. So I think probably Watkins is going a little bit too low in drafts. And I really liked Bateman as well, but pretty much I am done taking Rashad Bateman now. I just, like I said, I am really getting big Jalen Reagor vibes there.
Yeah, that would put him out weeks for sure. You know, I'm not going to overreact to this Colts thing with, I'm shocked that Erlinger is going to get a chance to play as much as they're saying that he will. But I would tell you that I think, Davis, going into week one of the NFL preseason, I think the must-watch game, if there is one, for me there is none. If there was one, I think this would be it. I think I want to see the Colts play in the preseason and see what they got, both those guys.
Yeah, I want to see the Colts play because I was not like you. I did not have like any expectation for Jacob Eason. I expected Eason to play pretty poorly. I mean, because the things that Eason did well in college, I don't know if they're going to translate that well. Now, the thing about Ellinger, not a good passer. This guy is not going to be, you know, we've gotten those highlights of Justin Fields throwing frozen ropes and things. But you know what Ellinger is good at? He is a big dude. He can run, and he can do. Remember when Jacoby Brissett was the quarterback of the Colts, and they ran that super conservative offense? They ran the ball like more than any. Ellinger can do that, and I might even say he could do that better than Jacob Eason. So it's not going to surprise me if Wentz is not able to be back by week one, if it actually is Ellinger under center, which feels crazy to say because Sam Ellinger was not a good college quarterback.
No, and he had his moments, but he had more moments, Davis, where the fans in Austin were just crushing this guy. Like, I mean, that was kind of the story there. And with Texas, they're always waiting for the next young quarterback. At one point, he was that guy, but it never worked out for him there for sure. And we'll see if it works out with the Colts. That's the one game I'll be paying attention to for sure. Okay, our training camp notes discussion is coming up next.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
We'll hit on O.J. Howard, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Also, a little bit later in the show, Carmelo Anthony met with the media about signing with the Lakers. Some interesting comments from him. We'll play them for you when we come back next here on Fantasy Sports Today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Davis Matic Recognition, look at training camp around the NFL, go through what happened the day before, and give you a little preview as to what could happen today, of course, on the field and on your television tonight. Hard Knocks makes its debut, and given the fact that you can stream a lot of these things and watch them on demand, perhaps we'll give a little review after this airs tonight. But before we get there, let's get here. Davis, this is some concerning news for me regarding O.J. Howard of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who we tried to make a thing for years until last year when Gronk came in, and then it was just the realization hit that maybe he just isn't that good. And boy, the reports on him on training camp are really not great, still kind of working his way back. He had a very limited season last year, 11 catches, 146 receiving yards, 2 touchdowns, 4 games in 2020. I don't know if Cameron Brate is still there, so you'll have to tell me if that's the case, but his ADP on Howard is 243. I know Gronk is there too. Does O.J. Howard, Davis, need to hit rock bottom, meaning that, like, do nothing again this year, and then some team calls them in October and takes them at the trade, and takes this guy at the trade deadline? I know usually when players get traded, they're non-factors in fantasy the rest of the season. It just never works out that way. But does he need to go somewhere else? Is that the only way this is going to happen for him there?
I mean, probably, because I just think it's too crowded for him in Tampa Bay. So, you know, you have the three wide receivers. They're never, like, this team is not going to be playing 12 personnel, right? It's going to be Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, and then one of the running backs. Of course, Gronk, I think, is going to play less in the regular season than he did last year. They are definitely going to be saving Gronk a little bit for the playoffs, and which they kind of did last year, if you think about it. Like, Gronk really was not heavily involved for them in the regular season last year, and then was a much bigger part of their postseason rotation. They also have Tanner Hudson on the roster, who is, you know, people maybe would have not heard of him, but he's really talented. The Buccaneers preseason, I will guarantee you Tanner Hudson is going to catch a touchdown, and the Bucs fans are going to be like, yeah, Tanner Hudson, he's really good. Cameron Brate, as you mentioned, is still on the roster. So they really have four tight ends who can play. I would imagine this will be O.J. Howard's last year on the Buccaneers. I would be surprised to see him come back again. And I think that's probably fair. Like, I don't imagine seeing Howard have a big fantasy impact this season just because it's so crowded there. And even if Gronk doesn't play that much in the regular season, they have Brate. I think Tanner Hudson probably will get a few more snaps. So I think the time for O.J. Howard is really just kind of passed, which is sad because he was really good.
Yeah, and listen, some of these draft picks for the Bucs offensively haven't looked all that good over the last few years, so maybe that's just one of the things they got to clean up. All right, now in Dallas, as we wait for Dak Prescott, Michael Gallup seems to be at least raising a lot of eyebrows in training camp early, and you are really not getting him at a discount at all. He's going in the 6th, 7th round in fantasy's ADP 73, And we're always waiting for that next level Gallup, Davis. I think that's fair to say. 59 catches, 843 yards, 5 touchdowns. But the fantasy community, it feels like there's someone new every year in on him, waiting for that 90 catch, 1,200 yard, 8 touchdown season. Is this the year that it happens for him? Is Amari Cooper take a backseat to Gallup?
Now, I don't know if he will take a backseat, but I think the thing that many fantasy drafters are betting on is that the Cowboys offense is probably they or the Chiefs should be favored to score the most points in the NFL. The Cowboys got a bunch of their offensive linemen back. They drafted more guys. You know, that was a big problem for them last year. Not only was Dak Prescott injured, but they also suffered a bunch of injuries on the offensive line. So the combination of those two things. And, you know, I think to be fair to Gallup, if you want to go back and look at his 2019 season, you know, Gallup had 113 targets, 66 receptions, 1,100 yards, 6 touchdowns. That was, of course, before they drafted CeeDee Lamb. And that was when, you know, last year, Jason Witten on the team, Randall Cobb playing in the slot. I'm a huge believer in Dak Prescott. I also think that we kind of have forgotten how much better Kellen Moore was at calling plays than Jason Garrett was. I mean, the difference between the Kellen Moore Cowboys offense and the Jason Garrett Cowboys offense, it was a huge difference in terms of their efficiency. I think that the Cowboys can have all three of these guys finish as top 24 wide receivers. And you might say, Davis, that sounds insane. That never happens. Well, the Carolina Panthers last year, the Carolina Panthers with Teddy Bridgewater, 5 wins, they had 3 guys finish as top 26 wide receivers in PPR because they didn't throw the ball to anyone else. And that's what the Cowboys are going to be. There's not a fourth wide receiver who's going to be on the field. I don't think we'll see a ton of targets for Blake Jarwin or Dalton Schultz. You know, of course, Elliott's going to get his. Pollard will play a little bit. But I am in on CeeDee Lamb where he goes. I'm in on Cooper where he goes. I love taking Dak Prescott in the 6th round. And Michael Gallup in the slot, what this tells me is that CeeDee Lamb is ready to become CeeDee Lamb. Like, he is ready to play on the outside, go up against number one corners and win that battle. And the Cowboys feel confident in him doing that. So I love it's a good update, definitely. Like, we want to hear that Michael Gallup is playing in different positions because you don't want them playing more two tight end stuff for sure.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay, let's close it out here with the Washington football team and Antonio Gibson, who was one of the big surprises in fantasy last year. He's basically going in the 2nd round of every fantasy draft, or even first, late first for some. And the rushing yards weren't all that impressive, Davis, but there's no doubt this guy was a touchdown machine. And Washington and Ron Rivera, they took no chances near the goal line. They just fed this guy, and he delivered 11 touchdowns last year. The receptions were 36, not a ton of yards. Involved now in the hurry-up offense for Washington. But I kind of feel like, Davis, as long as J.D. McKissic is still on this team, Gibson may be an RB1, but I still feel like there's always going to be something extra to give McKissic those touches.
Yeah, and I guess it's kind of hard to say, you know, how much of J.D. McKissic's season last year was driven by Alex Smith, who definitely loves to check the ball down. Antonio Gibson's rookie season, though, it really was very bizarre because Gibson in college, the thing that he offered at Memphis was pass catching. In his college career, I mean, it's so crazy to even look at this knowing what we know about him now. But Antonio Gibson in his college career had 77 touches of the ball. 33 of them were rushing attempts, 38 of them were receptions. And you could, you know, look at that guy and be like, well, you know, how could that guy be a superstar in the NFL? He had 170 rushes as a rookie and only 44 targets, of course, 110 targets for J.D. McKissic. Part of the reason why Antonio Gibson was not playing on passing downs was he really, at Memphis, was never asked to pass block. That's a huge part of what running backs are asked to do. Now, that stuff is kind of overrated because on a passing down, you don't want Antonio Gibson pass blocking. You want him running a route. You want him catching the ball. You want him, you know, using what he's good at. So I find that stuff to be overblown, but of course NFL coaches don't. The NFL coaches, they want, you know, they're rugged. That's why Darrell Williams is going to play in Kansas City. It's why Damian Williams is going to play in Chicago because those guys are good pass blockers. You love to see him used in these hurry-up situations as opposed to McKissic, though, because that's where a huge percentage of running back targets come from, are we need to get down the field quick, no running the ball. You know, we have our personnel out there. We run down the field. So I think that's a really good update for Antonio Gibson. And, you know, you definitely have to pay for him. Gibson going in the middle of the 2nd round right now. But I think that's an equitable price.
Yeah, and based on where he was last year, he's come along for sure from what he was at Memphis. I did not see him being as good as he was, no doubt. All right, coming up, it's time for us to play a little game of either or. Basically picking one wide receiver on a couple of teams here. We got the Cleveland Browns up next. We'll go to the Lions running back. We'll talk about DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams. And also a little bit later in the show, no doubt we're going to continue our discussion over on FanDuel. And everyone talks about the fun stuff. How about the teams that could end up being the worst in the NFL this season? Well, guess what? FanDuel has those odds too. Most interceptions, we'll hit on that as well. Fun stuff today here on the show in the 2nd hour. Coming up next, which one? We'll tell you right after this.
LBJ!
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Those of you who are getting ready to do fantasy football draft, I want to let you know there's a number of different ways that you can follow us on social media. And of course, one of them is very easy, and it is our site on Twitter, at SportsGrid. Just follow us there. You can also follow us on Twitter, at SportsGrid TV. So what does it mean? You get to see all kinds of clips that are taken from our shows, picks, predictions, fantasy, wagering, everything that we do is available not only on demand, but also on social media. So make sure, again, you go to Twitter, follow us at SportsGrid, follow us also at SportsGrid TV, and that is how you can get on the grid and get ahead of the game this upcoming football season. College football just a couple of weeks away, pro football about a month away, Davis, and people are getting ready for their fantasy football drafts, and no doubt they're going to be looking at the Cleveland Browns and wondering, what do I do? Not at running back, I think that's pretty much set. You know who those guys are, but how about wide receiver this season? You have your choice, essentially, of their two top guys. One who was a first-round pick in fantasy football a few years ago, and no longer the case. Another who is super consistent, and in a PPR league, adds a lot to the table. Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry. But you basically have to make a decision based on ADP, because one goes in the fifth or sixth round, another one goes in the eighth or ninth round. Now, Davis, this is the last shot for Odell Beckham Jr. to be a, top 10 round pick, I think, at this point. He's gone from a first to a second to a fourth. Now he's a sixth. And they're just there are always going to be people that are going to believe that he can go back to what he was at the Giants. He has not been that since the Giants. But the talent is undeniable. But in the end, Jarvis Landry outscores him in fantasy. So why does Beckham keep going before Landry?
I mean, the reason why Beckham goes is because people remember who Odell Beckham used to be. Like that really is the only part of it. You know, people remember 108 yards per game as a rookie, 13 touchdowns in 2015, 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns in 2016. And honestly, the last fully healthy Odell Beckham season, it still really wasn't what you thought it was. Back in 2019, he played in 16 games. 133 targets, only caught 55% of them, only scored 4 touchdowns. Like, Odell Beckham's touchdown tallies the last 4 years, 3, 6, 4, and 4. Those are more numbers that you would honestly expect from Jarvis Landry. There also is, you know, the other contingency, just that the Cleveland Browns are not a very pass-heavy team. Now, also, Craig, do you remember how weird the Browns season was last year? They had those gale force wind games several times. I honestly feel like people do remember this, but they played 3 games where they literally like could not pass the ball. Then they had another game happen where they had all their wide receivers were in COVID protocols, right? Odell was in COVID protocols. Landry was in COVID protocols. Peoples-Jones was. So it was like they were playing 4 tight ends. They had Harrison Bryant, and I think Austin Hooper had 16 targets in that game where all the wide receivers were in the COVID protocol. So it was a weird year for the Browns. They do end up winning that playoff game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Given where these guys go in drafts, look, the answer is Landry. You know exactly what Landry is going to do. He's not going to score a ton of touchdowns. He's not going to have like a, you know, a bunch of games with 100 yards, but he's going to have lots of 5 for 50s, lots of 5 for, you know, 10 points in a PPR league. And, you know, if he's able to score like the 9 touchdowns he did his final season in Miami, you'll be feeling really good about that. And, you know, probably a higher percentage of the Browns' touchdowns are going to come via rush than most teams because they have Nick Chubb and they have Kareem Hunt. So neither of these guys are like screaming buys for me. For example, I prefer Chase Claypool, who goes a little bit after Odell Beckham, kind of even prefer Jerry Jeudy there. And then around where Landry goes, it's interesting because Landry is around guys who are just moonshots, right? Mecole Hardman, Jalen Waddle, Bateman, who we were just talking about earlier.
Right.
If you just need a guy who can grind out 13 points a game, Landry's probably your guy. So I prefer Landry at his ADP, but to be honest, I don't love either one of them.
All right, let's move on to the Lions running back situation, which seems a little bit more clear than what it was last year, and maybe even in years past. The Bo Scarboroughs and the Ty Johnsons and the Adrian Petersons, I don't see those names this year as fantasy relevant, but it's a good conundrum to have here because DeAndre Swift, Davis, anybody who drafted him in fantasy last year, you look at these numbers and they're actually okay, but nobody got these numbers. Like your team was out of it. Swift was scoring at the end of the season. Like it was not relevant to your fantasy team once they decided to finally give Swift the ball. They bring in Jamal Williams to be the thorn in Swift's side, but I know Dan Campbell, and if I know him well enough, he is going to feed both of these guys this season. So I guess the question is, Davis, I loved Swift at Georgia. I thought he was a superstar. I thought he was going to be amazing in the NFL. It has not worked out quite that way. And Jamal Williams, I kind of know who he is. But the coaching leads me to believe from what I saw at Miami that I think both of these guys may get enough this year.
So I think both of them are definitely going to get a fair amount of touches. You know, what head coach Dan Campbell has said is that he views them as like a 1 and a 1A, which for Jamal Williams, where he goes in drafts, that's massive. Like that's what you want. You want a guy who's going in the 140s to get, you know, 150 rushing attempts and 30 receptions. But for where DeAndre Swift goes in drafts, well, you know, being in a timeshare with a guy like Jamal Williams is not as good. If you wanted to be charitable to Swift, you'd say, well, Aaron Jones was able to have a running back one season while basically being in a 50-50 timeshare with Jamal Williams, and how different are Swift and Jones in skill? Of course, the big difference here is the Lions are going to be a really bad team. They have the second lowest win total on the FanDuel Sportsbook. The Texans have the worst total. So that gets a little bit confusing. I guess the argument really for Swift is, what if he is just one of these guys? What if he is like, you know, second year David Johnson? What if he is like Saquon Barkley? Like, what if he just really is that good, that efficient, creates value on his own, and plays so well that the coaching staff just won't even want to remove him from the field? And to be clear, you know, I do think that is a real possibility. Like, I think there is a non-zero chance the Lions win 5 games and we're still taking DeAndre Swift in the first round of fantasy drafts next year. I don't know if it is the most likely thing, but I do feel that it is possible. I definitely have taken Jamal Williams in drafts way more than I have taken DeAndre Swift. For example, I really prefer Daryl Henderson to DeAndre Swift, and those guys kind of go about 10 picks apart. But I like both of them. I think the kindest way to say it is that they're both fine, right? Like they're both fine where they go.
Does Detroit have a third guy this year, Davis, of relevance at all? Do they have anyone, like I've mentioned in the past, the Peterson, Ty Johnson, Bo Scarborough? Like I'm closing my eyes and dreaming of a Thanksgiving Day game where some guy I've never heard of is running for them.
The guy you have never heard of who you might hear from is Jamar Jefferson. He played at Oregon State. I think they took him in the 5th round of the NFL draft this year. He had a really good season at Oregon State as a freshman, but had a poor, I think he ran like a 4.65, like did not have a good combine. But that is the guy who looks like if there is a third running back who gets touches, it would be him.
Okay, interesting name. All right, let's close it out with the quarterback of the 49ers, Jimmy Garoppolo's reviews thus far in training camp have not been great, and you can't go anywhere looking up anything on the 49ers without seeing how much they like Trey Lance. Now, the ADP for Jimmy G is 211, and for Trey Lance, it's 134. And this is simply about predicting playing time. I mean, that's the hard part about this. And if everything that is being said about Trey Lance, I think you definitely have to move up the projections. I thought maybe like week 6, week 7, week 8, I'm sort of starting to think that this could be a lot sooner. I'm not sure about the first game of the year, but I'm not going to rule that out either at this point, Davis, with the way that they're talking about this guy, which makes Lance a huge value. But if not, then I think Jimmy G's value, if he's going to start a handful of games at 211, is probably better. This is a tough one for me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just not interested in drafting Jimmy Garoppolo at all. I think that, you know the vibe that I get from this? The vibe that I get from Jimmy Garoppolo versus Trey Lance, do you remember when Russell Wilson got drafted, Matt Flynn, I believe is his name, they signed him, I think, like a 3-year, $35 million contract or something like that, but it just became apparent so quickly that Russell Wilson was the guy. Like, Russell Wilson was the man. Actually, funnily enough, I was at the preseason game, Seahawks at Chiefs, where Russell Wilson came out. I think he threw 2 touchdowns, just like, and that was it. Like, after that game, it was like, we can't put the genie back in the bottle. This is Russell Wilson's team. And I think that's what's going to happen with Trey Lance. Everything you hear from practice is that he looks incredible. And, you know, the 49ers players are not dumb. They're in practice. They're watching Jimmy G. They're watching Trey Lance. And at a certain point, it is going to become untenable for Kyle Shanahan to start the worst player. Like, this is a Super Bowl team. 2 years ago, this team was in the Super Bowl. They want to win a championship. I think it's undoubtable Trey Lance gives them a better chance to contend for an NFL championship than Jimmy Garoppolo. So, you know, if the 49ers came out and said tomorrow Trey Lance is starting from week 1, his ADP is going to jump up 15 spots. I mean, maybe even more than that. So I think the move is, let Trey Lance sit on your bench for 4 weeks if, you know, they do decide to go ahead and start Jimmy, and just be ready for it because he's going to be a great rusher. I think he's going to push the ball down the field. So I am not interested at all in Jimmy G and very interested in Trey Lance.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I would not rule out this guy starting week 1. You know, we fall into these narratives and it's really hard to look the other way. But I mean, if everything is what they're saying about Trey Lance is true, why isn't he the starting quarterback week 1? But the news is, got a preseason.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Game coming up this week. We're going to get our first eyes on Trey Lance, depending on when they use him in the game, second quarter, third quarter, and we'll get a pretty good idea as to what he looks like and what those chances are. But this may be your last chance to get him if you're drafting this week. We'll be right back on Sports Grid. Don't go away.
Your heart's race.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Upcoming football season, there are going to be some bad teams and there are going to be some bad quarterbacks. And for the first time, really, this fantasy football season, rather than focusing on the positive, we are going to focus on the negative here for this segment, because there's Davis, there's money to be made on the negative. There is money to be made on failure. And although we tend to talk about success, I felt like it was time for us to take a look at some failures in the NFL. So we'll take a look at the worst regular season record in the NFL and the most interceptions. I hate to do a negative show, but I don't mind doing it for about 10 minutes. How about you?
No, I don't mind doing it either. And I actually, I have some strong opinions on some of these. I mean, you know, of course, Craig, you know me, probably not that surprising that I have a strong opinion, but I feel like this market in particular, the worst regular season record market, this is not a market that people are really excited to bet, because you want to bet on your team. You want to bet on your team, right, to win games. You want to bet on your team to do well. No one is going in and being like, oh, yeah, I can't wait to bet my New York Jets for the worst record. Like, no one wants to do that. So I do. I feel like this is actually a market that's a little bit exploitable.
All right. So the Texans, of course, are going to be the leader in the clubhouse here. We have no idea what's going on with Watson. He's not going to play this week in the preseason. They are 2-1, and on paper, they are the worst team. For now, remember, Miami was the worst team on paper 2 years ago, and they lost their first 8 games and ended up winning a bunch at the end as well. So where is the opportunity here beyond Houston? You got Detroit at 4-1. You got the Jets at 10-1. You got the Bengals at 11-1. And you have Jacksonville at 13-1. These are all available on FanDuel. Davis, in the end, where is the value on the worst team in the NFL?
Well, I mean, honestly, I do feel like the Texans should be like a favorite here. Like, they're listed at 2-1, but doesn't it feel like the Texans should really be like even money versus the rest of the NFL? They have this whole mess with Deshaun Watson. John McClain, longtime Texans beat writer, tweets out yesterday, Deshaun Watson is never playing another down for this team. They haven't figured out a trade with him. They have him playing safety at practice. Like, it's just all a mess there. So if I was going to make one wager, it would definitely be on the Texans. I feel like these are honestly a little bit of you know, generous odds. But my favorite bet for NFL worst regular season record is the New York Giants. On the FanDuel Sportsbook, the New York Giants are listed at 20-1. And let me tell you, they stink. They don't have a good defense. They don't have a good offensive line. They don't have a quarterback. They don't have a good offensive coordinator. In fact, you know that Freddie Kitchens, who had to resign in disgrace from the Cleveland Browns, is on this coaching staff? That Freddie Kitchens is helping design this offense. They already have their star free agent signing, Kenny Golladay. He already has a hamstring injury. Three guys have retired, not been traded, not been cut. They've had three guys retire rather than play out the rest of this season under Joe Judge. Everything I hear from Joe Judge, everything I hear from Garrett, from Kitchens, from Dave Gettleman, from John Mara, who owns the team, it's all bad. Everything about them is bad, to be honest. Like, so I feel like they should be there with the Jets at like 10-1.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I like Cincinnati a little bit at 11-1. I'm not a believer in them, and I think they're one skill position player away from losing a ton. But yeah, that's an interesting one there with the Giants, not even on our board at 20-1. So good job there on that one. All right, now let's take a look at the most regular season interceptions. Yes, this is bettable on FanDuel. Fitzpatrick should be no surprise at +460, but that tells you that this is wide open, folks. Ben Roethlisberger 6-1. Sam Darnold 6.5-1. What about Tua Tagovailoa 9.5-1? Carson Wentz, I don't think you can bet this one. He's got to play a lot of games, but he's 10-1. And then we have Jalen Hurts, who we both like, even though the reports have not been great on him. We have Russell Wilson, and we have Jared Goff Zach Wilson, excuse me, and Jared Goff at 12-1. And again, those are individual, even though you see them all together here. You can bet any of those. So, Davis, Wentz to me is not something bettable because I simply don't know how many games he's going to play, and he's got to accrue that over the course of the year. And I don't know, I'm a silly Tua believer, so I'm not going to go with that one either. Who do you like here? Most interceptions.
So, you know, the thing you have to remember is that the guys who are truly bad, they're not going to get enough starts, right? Like if Tyler Heinicke was slated to start for the Washington football team, well, he would still actually be a bad wager for this because he's not going to get enough games. So like, his teammate, Ryan Fitzpatrick, if Ryan Fitzpatrick is 8 games into the year and he's got 15 interceptions and 8 touchdown passes or something, they're pulling the plug. They're moving into someone else. Now, Roethlisberger is interesting at 6-1 because assuming he's healthy, he's not getting benched for Mason Rudolph or whatever. But I think that if it looks like he's going to be throwing a lot of interceptions, I think the most likely thing is that he probably will, they will tone the offense down, right? They will move, they will just stop throwing the ball a ton, and they will start to look to be more run heavy. I think that Darnold is interesting here because they don't have a great option after him. So I would anticipate us seeing, you know, a lot of Sam Darnold, even if he is playing poorly. They don't really have another option. The other one that I thought was interesting here was Jared Goff at 12-1, because much like Darnold, they don't really have another option. This is going to be the first time that we see Goff removed from that Sean McVay system. You know, I don't really know what they have planned in Detroit, but, you know, when Goff was playing very well in Los Angeles, it was because, you know, the big innovation of Sean McVay was talking into the helmet to the quarterback. That was the big thing that Sean McVay did that other teams hadn't been doing, is that Goff would go, get up to the line of scrimmage, call the play, and McVay would say, okay, the middle linebacker is going to do this, the safety is going to do this, this is the coverage, you need to look to throw here. Well, I don't think they're going to have that same system set up in Detroit. So it's going to be more Goff having to call the plays and figure those things out on their own. There's not, you know, I believe David Blau is the backup quarterback for the Detroit Lions, not a guy who we are going to be demanding to get in there. So I think Goff definitely seems like a bettable one.
Yeah, I like that one the most of any of them, to be honest with you. I mean, Detroit is going nowhere. Goff, in general, for whatever reason, Davis, has pretty much been upright. The Rams' offensive line's been okay, but I don't know. Goff seems to have avoided some injuries over the course of his career. Maybe he does that with Detroit, and then that would put him right in the spotlight here. If I knew that there was no Taysom Hill in New Orleans, I think that I would go with Jameis Winston, but clearly they're going to be splitting. That's why I don't see him on the board. Zach Wilson's interesting, but Jets have been known to do what, Davis? After a few weeks, give the guy a break, right? And then put somebody else in for a couple weeks, then bring the guy back. I don't know if that will be the case with him. I would not bet Jalen Hurts, but Goff definitely at 12-1 on Detroit and playing in a division where they definitely can pick the ball off there quite a bit. So he is 12-1 on FanDuel. All right, we've gone through a couple of our games on Thursday night in the NFL preseason. I wanted to bring, Davis, another one to your attention here. This game is coming up on Friday night. It is Tennessee and Atlanta, and we have a little bit of a higher total, and I know 38 doesn't sound like a lot, but it's kind of shocking. We finally do, Davis, right? We have like a total that's above 35. I'm not sure why. I guess Tennessee's defense is brutal, but Atlanta's defense not much better. Last time they played a full preseason, Atlanta couldn't win a game, and you saw what happened to them in the regular season as well. So not a shock that you start off at 1-4 and then, you know, you go 0-8 and then you fire the coach and all that happened. So I guess the question is, do the Falcons really care about the preseason? Is this going to be important to them? We have Tennessee -1 on the road.
Well, you know, the teams that I guess would tend to care about the preseason would be teams with new coaches, right? And both of these teams are dealing with that. The Titans have a new offensive coordinator. Funnily enough, new head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Arthur Smith, was the offensive coordinator of the Tennessee Titans. I actually completely forgot the name of the guy who is the new Titans offensive coordinator. He's totally anonymous. He was the tight ends coach last season and then got promoted when Arthur Smith left. Maybe the Falcons do care about the preseason, you know, because they are in such a position that they actually probably should see a little bit of what their offense can do. You know, I don't know how much, like, it's always hard to tell from the tea leaves, like, okay, you know, the Falcons, they'd really like to get Kyle Pitts some touches. They'd like to see what Quadre Olison could do as a lead running back. I guess my thought would be the Falcons are more likely to be running something resembling their real offense than the Titans would. So I guess that would make me lean the Falcons, because the Titans have the same quarterback. You know, they largely have a lot of the same players in the same system. I don't think the Titans offense is going to look all that much different from what it did last year. It'll basically be the same thing, just with a different guy calling the plays. So, yeah, I mean, I will tell you when I have an angle on one of these games, like, oh, I think this is a bettable angle. I don't think this is a bettable angle. I do not see a bettable angle on this particular game. Though if you wanted one, it would be new coaching staff in the Falcons, and they're going to be running their regular offense even in the second half.
And the good news is Chick-fil-A will be open on Friday night in Atlanta, Davis. We get four Chick-fil-A appearances a year from the Falcons. This is one of them on Thursday night for sure. We'll get back to some NFL discussion coming up in just a few minutes. One of the other stories going around today, Davis, really a top story. It's something you can speak to a lot better than me, so I did want to ask you about it as we close out this hour. Is Messi signing with PSG? What does this mean essentially for sports? Because it seems like a huge move worldwide, and it's being covered here like it is as well. But what does it really mean with him switching teams, basically?
I mean, I guess I really cannot overstate just how like seismic of a move this is. You know, soccer is even if it's not true for us here in the United States, soccer is the biggest sport in the world. If you want a fun little experiment, people listening to this show, go look at like the amount of Instagram followers that Tom Brady has or LeBron James has, and then go look at the amount of Instagram followers that Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi have, and it'll be like those guys will have like 15% the amount of followers that Messi and Ronaldo have. And on top of soccer being the most popular sport in the world, Messi is the most popular athlete in the most popular sport in the world. He played all of his senior international, like all of it he played with Barcelona. He came over from Argentina, I believe, when he was 14. And PSG is, there's not really a great, and they're kind of like the Yankees, except it would be like if the Yankees were in AAA, but also allowed to play in the World Series. The French league that PSG plays in, they are the richest team by 200%, probably. They are owned by Saudi Arabian oil princes. Like they have more money than they would ever know what to do with. They play in this non-competitive league, so it's all about winning the Champions League. A lot of people hate the team that Messi went to. I would say more people really do not like that team as opposed to really liking them, which I think is interesting. Like, what do you do with a guy who is so popular and so personable? You know, basically no one has a negative thing to say about this guy, and then he goes to one of the least popular, you know, the Yankees equivalent. Like, we hate when guys go to the Yankees for the big paycheck. It really is kind of similar to that.
Yeah, interesting. As really, this is a big, big move for soccer for sure. Also, a big move, the Los Angeles Lakers in the offseason, they get Russell Westbrook, they get Carmelo Anthony, and it's like the 37-year-old and up club. And coming up, we'll hear from Carmelo Anthony at the top of the hour. But first, we got to close out this hour here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. So stay with us. We will be right back in just 2 minutes.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Fantasy Sports Today, you're on State. Top of the hour, we'll hear from Carmelo Anthony of the Los Angeles Lakers, as if Carmelo needed one more team to play with. I think he picked the right one this time. Davis, a lot of what we discussed over the last couple of months was Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur essentially alluding to Rodgers not playing at all in the preseason. The Packers, dare I say, have made the right move here. Let's take a look at Jordan Love. Let's play Jordan Love as much as possible and figure out what this guy has, right? Like this has to happen.
It does have to happen. I guess I don't see how it happens though. Like what is the avenue to it actually happening? Like, doesn't that seem to be the confounding part?
Yeah, I mean, they got to play him and figure out if he can play, because I think that they're going to go with him next year, no?
Except everything you hear is that, you know, he's not ready. Like everything you hear is like, well, he doesn't look that good, and he doesn't understand the system that well. And like, I don't know. I tend to think that when players are good, it kind of like manifests itself into them getting on the field, like the Herbert thing, right? Herbert was just better than Tyrod Taylor, and the universe just like manifested a way for him to get on the field via very crazy circumstances. Like, and I know that's a crazy example. That's a crazy way to support my position, but I do feel like it kind of just manifests itself. And so far that has not happened.
Yeah, happened with Tom Brady too. I think I may have been at Tom Brady's first start. I think I may have been at his first start ever. He did not win, I think, against Miami. I want to say I was at the game, though, where he made his first start. Tells you how old I am. All right, that'll do it for our first hour of the show. We got plenty more to come here. We got our headlines with Chris coming up at the top of the hour. Of course, Fantasy Reality, Sports Grid 60. As a reminder, George Kurtz will be in for me tomorrow as I shift over from Wednesday to Sunday, hosting a Sunday morning show with Joe Pizzapia and Matt Stryker. We have more on that. George will be actually joining us a couple days a week here on the show. So stay on the grid, update next, then we'll be right back.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.